Advisory Committee for Monday, February 5th, 2007. Committee members, we've got work sessions only today on five bills that we've had public hearings on already, and we'll proceed on them in the order they appear on your agenda. So I will first open a work session on House Bill 2143. Council Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2143 comes to you from the Department of Justice, and this relates to tobacco settlement. Moves the timing of payments of annual transfer of funds from the tobacco settlement account to the Tobacco Enforcement Fund from the end of the biennium to the beginning of the biennium. Allows the Department of Administrative Services to set the amount of funds the Department of Justice may receive for enforcement of the non-participating manufacturing laws. Fred Boss is here from the Department of Justice. You have the -1 amendments in front of you, and this addresses the issue of the timing of the payment. As you may see, it's divided into two sections. Chair members of the committee, and it really addresses the issue of when this bill is adopted into law and how they're paid.
Very good. Mr. Boss, would it be helpful for you to come and just walk us through the amendment and explain the impact that has on the bill?
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, my name is Fred Boss. I am with the Oregon Department of Justice. The amendments for House Bill 2143 are twofold. They are to ensure that the timing of the current bill will not affect the payment in the current biennium, the 05-07 biennium. Therefore, we make the bill effective. Notwithstanding the effective date, the sum in the first part, the sum of $700,000 will be transferred from the tobacco settlement account into the tobacco enforcement account. That's the first part. The second part is that the present bill calls for the Department of Justice to submit an estimate of its costs prior to July 1st. If the effective date of the bill is July 1st, the Department of Justice would be caught into a bind, not be able to present the estimate for the upcoming biennium. What the second section of Section 2 of the amendment does is essentially say that for the biennium coming up, the 07-09 biennium, that the department can submit it as soon as possible after July 1st or after the effective date.
Mr. Boss, I see that the original bill has an emergency clause on it, which means it takes effect immediately upon signature by the governor. So is the amendment all dealing with the possibility that that might not occur until after June 1 of 07? Is that what we're dealing with?
Chair McPherson, correct. That was what the issue that we presented to Legislative Council, and this is what they worked through in order to propose to solve that particular issue.
Okay. Committee members, any questions for Mr. Boss while we have him here during our work session? Okay, thank you, Mr. Boss.
Thank you.
So we have a technical bill before us, which has a technical amendment to it related to timing, so that we don't disrupt the procedure by which the tobacco enforcement funds are moved around. I think we're ready for a motion then, and I would think this is probably suitable for the consent calendar once it's amended. But the first motion would be to move the -1 amendments.
I so move, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant has moved the -1 amendments into House Bill 2143. Is there any objection? -1 amendments are in the bill. Do we have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that the committee pass HB 2143 to the House of a due pass recommendation as part of the consent agenda.
Representative Wisnant has moved House Bill 2143 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation to be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion?
Vice Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonamici.
I just wanted to clarify. It looks like there still is an emergency clause on the bill.
Yes.
But it's now, it's just this line on the back that it's Section 3 instead of Section 2. Is that still? I just want to make sure I understand, because it sounded from your question like maybe there wasn't an emergency clause.
No, I didn't mean to suggest that there wasn't. There is in the original bill an emergency clause, and what's happened is that they added a Section 2 and renumbered Section 2, which is the emergency clause, as Section 3. Since the bill, under the emergency clause that's still in the bill, it will take effect upon signing by the governor. It's only if the process gets bogged down and this doesn't actually complete the process in time that the amendment's necessary, the one that's in Section 2.
Thank you. I understand.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Excused.
Representative Cobb?
Here. Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chairman
Person? Aye.
House Bill 2143, as amended, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation to be placed in the consent calendar. I'll close the public hearing on the work session on House Bill 2143, and open a work session on House Bill 2135. Council Stanford.
Thank you, Chair McPherson. House Bill 2135 requires the reinstatement of criminal charges that a district attorney agreed to dismiss or to reduce pursuant to a plea if a court subsequently allows a defendant to withdraw a plea, reverses the defendant's conviction, or grants the defendant's request for post-conviction relief.
Committee members, you'll recall there was some concern expressed in public hearing about this bill, but now that we've let it settle for a bit, seemed appropriate to bring it back and find out what the view of the committee is on this bill. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2135 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker has moved House Bill 2135 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Excuse. Just entered the room. Why don't you complete calling the roll and we'll return to her.
Okay. Representative Cobb?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Flores,
this is House Bill 2135. We're in work session, and you can cast your vote if you feel prepared to do so.
Thank you. I am, and I vote aye.
Very good. House Bill 2135 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Barker, would you carry that?
I would, please.
Close the work session on House Bill 2135 and open a work session on 2147. Council Stanford.
Thank you, Chair McPherson and members of the committee. House Bill 2147 was a product of the Underage Drinking Task Force. What it does is it expands the age range for a court to deny driving privileges for offenses involving controlled substances or alcohol. Right now, they can only do that for ages 13 to 17. Now this would expand it to ages 13 to 20. So it basically captures 18, 19, and 20-year-olds as well.
Committee, need any further input before a motion is in order?
Mr. Chair, I'll move. Are we in a work session on this?
We are in work session.
I'll move House Bill 2147 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cameron has moved House Bill 2147 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of the motion? Representative Wisner.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd ask Representative Barker, reviewing it again last night, possession, is that normally we'd have it possession, use or abuse? That is, the possession was the one question.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Right now, that either This takes effect if you have possession, use, or abuse of alcohol. Does the possession thing worry us any? Do we just have the, you're driving and have it?
These came out of the task force, and it has to do with underage drinking. The idea is to try and make it so that a kid will think twice with their driver's license up for grabs if they're engaged. Maybe council could answer that a little better.
Certainly. Representative Wisnett, Chair McPherson, you would ask about the question about possession, use, or abuse. That's, I guess I would say, typical language that I've seen in statutes relating to alcohol specifically. They're all, it's kind of duplicative and repetitive in some ways, but it is typical language that's in, and it generally refers to the same. Possession is, perhaps I've got it in my car and it's sealed, but it's not opened. Use, I'm in the act of drinking it and seen. Abuse, I'm publicly intoxicated and I'm underage. That's how I would translate each one of those. I don't know if that clears up anything.
Well, my question, I guess, Mr. Chair, is that normal that we would take their license if it was possession? That's my only concern. And the task force felt strong about including that language. I'm okay with it.
The task force brought this and a number of other proposals forward to us. The existing law, reciting what I think I understand about this, is that under the age of 18, then being in possession of alcohol or other controlled substances can be a basis for denial of driving privileges, even if that possession is not connected to motor vehicle use. Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
Right. And so we already have this policy statement with respect to minors, legal minors, and what this does is it expands it upward to include those people who are adults but who are still prohibited under our alcohol laws from using until they're age 21. And so it's an expansion of an existing policy.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Krieger.
The people between 18 and 18, 19, 20, a lot of those are in the working. They're no longer in school, so they're going to be out working. Right. Is there, to get the restricted license, would they still, can they apply for that restricted license to and from work?
There is, if I may respond, Chairman Pearson, there is always a process that courts have set up anytime a driver's license suspension is involved for the hardship permit. And one of the grounds for hardship permit is I'm employed and I need my vehicle to get to work.
Okay. That would concern me more. The rest of it I'm fine with.
That is in place.
It's just to offer my own comments, committee members. I would say the policy of denying driving privileges for offenses that are not necessarily connected at all to driving is I think it's a policy that we ought to be recognize we're embracing when we pass this bill, if we pass it, but we already have that policy in our law now. We're expanding it upwards so that it includes adults, they who are prohibited from possessing alcohol, although it extends, of course, to controlled substances as well. And so it would have that extra kind of lever over people's conduct. So I would invite a motion if people feel this is appropriate, but if they're not comfortable with it.
We have a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry, we do. I beg your pardon. Representative Cameron's motion. Any further discussion?
Representative. Chair McPherson, the current motion is for a due pass, and, well, that's fine. I was going to say maybe we don't want to do it that way, but that's fine. It makes sense to do it that way.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, then the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Clough?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Wisnett? Aye.
Chair McPherson?
Aye. House Bill 2147 has moved to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. And Representative Cameron, would you carry that?
Sure, my pleasure.
Very good. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2147. Open a work session on House Bill 2148. Council Stanford.
Thank you, Chair McPherson and members of the committee. House Bill 2148 is also a product of the Underage Drinking Task Force. What it does is it creates a new violation for an underage person in possession of alcohol while operating a motor vehicle on a public highway or premises. It makes that a Class A violation. Right now, there's no distinction in the law as to whether a minor is in possession of alcohol just standing at a party or in the motor vehicle. They're both Class B violations. This separates the alcohol in the car and makes it a Class A as opposed to a Class B.
Questions or discussions or discussion of the bill here before we entertain a motion, committee members?
Mr. Chair, just could we have clarification on the difference between a Class C and a Class A violation, what that means to somebody who is arrested? That would be good for the record for me.
Sure. A Class A violation, maximum fine, it has to do with maximum fines. Maximum fine for a Class A is $720. Maximum fine for a Class B, I'm searching my brain right now, it's something around 500.
Class B, not E.
Is it 240? That sounds low. Okay. It's less than the 720 is the distinction. I can look that up real quick.
What have you been calling your buddies? You don't deal with these things every day.
So, just for clarification, then it's just a difference in fine. It's not a jail sentence.
That's correct. There cannot be jail.
Thank you.
Right.
So the policy choice involved in this bill, committee, is that there's that having possession of alcohol while operating a motor vehicle. That doesn't mean that somebody's intoxicated. It could be a minor in possession of a case of beer that's in the vehicle with none of it having been consumed, but being in possession of the alcohol while operating the motor vehicle ought to be a higher level of sanction available within the fine structure than possession of alcohol in some other setting.
If I may, $360 on a Class B violation. $720 for a Class A.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm hoping as we're reviewing these bills that are coming from the Underage Drinking Task Force, which I support, especially as a parent of teenagers, I hope that the Underage Drinking Task Force has also found a way to communicate all these ideas to the population that's targeted by these bills so that they have knowledge, and whether that's done through high schools or youth groups or something, to make sure that they know that there's an enhanced penalty. So I'm just commenting for the record that I hope that piece is in there to communicate. Hopefully that'll be an incentive to lessen the problem of underage drinking.
There are representatives of the Department of Justice in the room and who have been working with the task force, and I think that word will get back to them as a result of your comment. Okay. any further discussion before a motion? Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that the committee pass House Bill 2148 to the floor of a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnett has moved House Bill 2148 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Kopp?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair McPherson?
Aye. House Bill 2148 is passed to the floor with a, or moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll now close the work session of House Bill 2148, and I'm going to reopen a.
Carry your consent.
Oh, yeah, you know, that should be a. We should have a carrier on that one. Representative Wisnett, would you carry that, please? Thank you. Close the work session on House Bill 2148, and I'm going to reopen the work session on House Bill 2143 because I'm advised that the bill had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior referral. So I would ask for a motion here.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2143.
Representative Wisnett moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2143. Those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2143 shall say aye. Those opposed say no. Clerk, call the roll.
Can I ask for clarification? We're just voting to suspend the rules.
We're going. We're going back to undo what we did before, so we can do it right.
Thank you. Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cobb.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Chair McPherson.
Aye. The motion passes.
The rules have been suspended.
Gavel.
The motion carries and the rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which HB 2143 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Wisnett has moved that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2143 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. those of the opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2143 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation will say aye. Those opposed say no. And I think we could probably do that by a voice vote without calling the roll. So those that say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? No. Motion carries and the vote has been reconsidered.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Wisnett.
I move HB 2143 due pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Wisnett has moved that House Bill 2143 as amended be moved from the committee, due pass, and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. any discussion of that motion? Those of the opinion that we move House Bill 2143 due pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means will say aye, and those opposed say no. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Cobb?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair McPherson?
Aye. House Bill 2143 has been moved from the committee due pass as amended and is referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. I'll now reclose the work session on House Bill 2143 and open a work session on House Bill 2149. Council Stanford.
Thank you, Chair McPherson and members of the committee. House Bill 2149 is also a product of the Underage Drinking Task Force. And it relates to ORS 471.430 sub 6. Presently, that statute authorizes a court to order alcohol assessment and treatment for persons aged 18 to 20 who violate alcohol prohibitions. What House Bill 2149 does is it expands the statute to allow the court to order alcohol and assessment and treatment for anyone, any underage person, regardless of their age. For first-time underage offenders, the court has the discretion whether to order the treatment. For repeat underage offenders, the treatment is mandatory.
Any questions or discussion of the bill, committee? Representative Bonamici?
I can't recall if there was any discussion about the fiscal impact if it's a mandatory treatment for people who have found to violate, because we're including a new group of people in a mandatory treatment.
Representative Wisnett,
May order, isn't it, counsel?
I'm sorry?
It's may order. It's not.
It does say the court may order, and then but then the yes. If they order, then the treatment becomes mandatory.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonamici.
The lines 7 and 8, if the person has previously been found to have violated, the court shall order.
Right.
So it is mandatory.
Touche.
Did we receive a fiscal impact statement on this bill?
I just don't believe that we've received the there is no fiscal impact statement that's been received on this bill.
Well, I think it's a good point that Representative Bonamici has raised, and what I would suggest we do, committee, is to I think we have to be ever mindful of the fiscal impacts of the things we do. So I suggest we close the work session without moving the bill today, and we've got a couple of other bills from the Underage Drinking Task Force that we'll be taking up at a later date. We could bring this back together with them at that time.
Mr. Chair, before we close it, wouldn't it be the court order? I'd be responsible for paying that as a citizen.
In my experience dealing in community court, Representative Cameron, yes, that's how the order would work. That you would have to pay, and then if we're talking about violations here, so there's no court-appointed counsel or anything that would be involved. If you're ordered to undergo treatment and there was a finding of indigency, a person could petition, I suppose, and I don't know exactly how it would play out at that point.
But what if the minor, because it is a minor, was unable to pay? Either minor or parents unable to pay, isn't the court still bound to refer over, and that's a collection matter, and they may not be able to collect?
That's correct.
Well, it seems likely the fiscal impact would be modest enough that it wouldn't be sort of be of a sufficient magnitude that Ways and Means would be concerned, but I would be inclined to go through the process of getting legislative fiscal to tell us that rather than our just assuming that on our own initiative. So unless there's a contrary thought by the committee, I'd be inclined to hold off on this one, and we can bring it back along with the remaining bills that are going to come forward from the Underage Drinking Task Force.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you.
I support the bill in concept, but when we're talking about something that's going to increase the costs for our court system, I think we should know what we're looking at when we vote it out. Thank you.
That is a point well taken. So I will now close the work session on House Bill 2149, and that concludes our agenda, committee. Thank you very much for your attention.
Well, you had to hurry to get away.